from whom all blessings flow. What a blessed privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord again. Amen. The Lord is in this place today. That's it. The Lord is in this place. Amen. For that, I'm truly grateful to God. Happy to see all of you here today. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Lord, it's good. Looks like old Mount Olivet in here today. Looks like old Mount Olivet in here today. Amen. This choir is singing wonderfully. Praise God for the music ministry of the Mount Olivet Church. Yeah. There's none like it. Amen. I'm always thanking God for what I have here because I'm grateful. I travel, I preach in other churches all over the country, and I don't go anywhere that does not cause me to appreciate what I have here even more. Amen. 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 We were blessed on last Sunday to be at the Mount Gileon Baptist Church in Cleveland with, looked like, a ton of men. I didn't know I had so many men here at Mount Olivet, but we had a ton of men with us. And then we had Harvey and Ann McCorvey to join us. We had Cecil and Alberta Lee to join us. We had Steve Morgan to join us. We had a lot of people from Mount Olivet, a lot of friends and visitors who visit our church on a regular basis to join us. We had a church full of folk from Rochester on last week in Cleveland. Amen. And the male chorus, Brother Mike Ruffin and Wade, they act like I wasn't on to preach because they tried to take the church down, and all that they did not take down, Lewis took it down. The preacher asked me, he said, "Do you let him sing in front of you like that all the time?" Amen. But we were also very happy to get the word that the Lord had moved in this place and that service was great here, and we're thankful here. Let's give God some praise here. Amen. So thank you, Mount Olivet, for just being who you are. And we continue to ask God to help all of us to be more than who we are, but be who he wants us to be. Happy to see those of you who have been sick and you're back today. Sister Jardine Johnson, she's back today. Say amen. Amen. She's been through a lot, but I can look at her face and tell she still has joy. Amen. Reverend Brooks has been through a lot. She's here today. Still got joy. Say amen. Amen. I'm looking at Karen and Sandra. The last time I saw them with Kim and her daughter, they were funeralizing their mother right here. Their mother, Kim's sister, right in this place. And they're here today. God bless you. Glad to see you. Amen. Amen. Glad to see you. Now, sometimes when I do what I'm doing now, somebody will send a text message and say, "You didn't say anything about me." Well, for that person, I love you and bless you, and hopefully I'll see you before I sit down today. Amen. And if I don't see you, God bless you. And I tell you what, help me by touching somebody close by and saying, God bless you. God bless you. Tell them I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see you. Yeah. Glad to see you. Amen. Now, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. You know, this is really a good day to be happy, y'all. I say, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. If you're happy and you know it and you don't mind showing it, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. Amen. Lewis, give us a little bit of what you gave us in Cleveland. Just a little bit now. I got to preach.
I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days, and some sleepless nights, but when I look around, and I think things over, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days, and I'm gone. Talking about, he's been good, he's really been good to me. Yeah. He came this week and dried all of my tears away, and he came and turned my midnight into day. So instead of being all in my feelings, I'm going to lift my hand and say thank you, Lord. Because it could have been me laying there cold in my grave. I'm going to say thank you, Lord. But God saw fit to tell death's angel to behave. I'm going to say thank you, Lord. And when times get rougher, I'm going to look to the hills from which coming my help. I know it comes from the Lord. I'm going to say thank you, Lord. I'll end it right there. Thank you, Lord. I could, but I won't complain.
Somebody can say he's been good to me. Somebody can say he's been good to me.
Hallelujah.
He's been good to me. More than this world could ever be. How many of you know he's been so good? Been so good to me. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he dries my tears away.
Thank you, Jesus.
Turn my midnight into day. So I'll say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the midst of death, I won't complain. In my darkest hour, I find myself saying, I need the old. Right now we need thee. Yeah. Yeah. Every hour. Right now your people need thee. Would you bless?
Thank you, Jesus.
Me now.
My Savior.
Oh.
Oh. I I believe the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody just said it, but you already know hallelujah is the highest praise. I said somebody just said it over here, but somebody over here know that hallelujah is the highest praise. You watched over me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hallelujah is the highest praise. You put food on my table. You put clothes on my back. You dried the tears from my eyes. You put strength in my body. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget, oh, never. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Jesus, I'll never forget you set me free. Jesus, I'll never forget you brought me out. Jesus, I'll never forget. No, there. One more. How can I forget what you've done for me? How can I forget how you set me free? How can I forget
how you brought me out. Deed I'll never get, no, never.
Woo. Good God Almighty. Oh, my Lord. Praise God. 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 Ooh. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
I'm going on now. But the Lord is in this place. And I don't know what you pray for, but that's all I pray for. Is that the Spirit of the Lord would meet me here, would be here, would touch. Because if he touches, he'll heal you. If he heals you, he'll deliver you. If he delivers you, he'll set you free. Give him a wave offering, and I'm going on. Give him a wave offering. Give God a wave offering. Give God a wave offering. Give God a wave offering. Give him a wave offering. Praise God. 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 I'm not going to let Lewis sing no more. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Yeah, that's good. Whatever. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, praising God, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. Thank you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to talk about this morning I want to talk about essential church. You may have seen that in your bulletin, the essential church. I'm reading a book that becomes a class for us here at Mount Olivet on November 14th. On Tuesdays at 6 o'clock p.m., and I know some of you already have obligations, but our schedule is just busy here at Mount Olivet anyway. But an amazing book about church in times like these. You will find this book also in the bulletin. There is a page in the bulletin that speaks to this book, and it speaks to the class that will be on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. And the class starts November 15th. And I'm hoping at the end of this class that you will sign up for Essential Church, Reclaiming a Generation of Dropouts. Wonderful, wonderful. It's a two-part book. It's not a hard book. I read it in traveling. I finished the book. It's a great book. It's a two-part book by a prolific writer of the church. I'm not talking about like the biblical church. I'm talking about the church like somebody goes to church. Tom Rainer is just the writer. He writes about church. This book, Essential Church, Reclaiming a Generation of Dropouts. It's probably going to be a 12-week course, so you won't be here all year long, about a 12-week course at the most. This class should be held in the old sanctuary at least. And if all of you would sign up for this short class today, it would change the trajectory of our church. Sign up for the class today. It's going to change the trajectory of our church. Many of us students, we study events. We study how to make events greater, how to make events better. I really prefer the word healthier. Tom Rainer studies church. He does not study the church anniversary. He does not study the pastor's anniversary. He does not study Women's Day and Men's Day. Rather, he studies the church. His interest is in making the church greater, making the church better. Moreover, making the church healthier. How to sustain the church. He talks about how to sustain the church. Bobby Lance and Fred Robbins wrote a song entitled "The House That Jack Built." Aretha Franklin came along in 1968. She sung and recorded "The House That Jack Built." And that song topped the charts for months after months. This is the house that Jack built. The Bible does not talk about the house that Jack built, but it does talk about the house that the Lord built. Right there, Matthew 16, 18, he says, "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail," shall not win, shall not overtake my church. Rainer talks about the health. Rainer talks about the sustainability of the house that the Lord built. As I've traveled this summer from church to church, and I hear and have heard the stories of the church across this country, across this state, and even in this city. I know we feel like we've been through a lot, but our story is almost not worth listening to when you hear the stories of so many others. People ask me, what do I do besides preach, visit sick, and help share with ministries and encourage? Spend a lot of time encouraging pastors and members of other churches in this city and across this country. And I'm encouraged more and more that God is in the plan. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1, the whole chapter of Jeremiah, chapter 29, is becoming one of my favorite chapters in the Bible for the rest of my life. Jeremiah 29, verse 1, in a letter to the residue of elders. Not a letter to the elders, but a letter to the elders that's left after the storm. It's a letter that's left to the ones who could take it. It's a letter that's written to the ones who could go through the fire. When I went in Cleveland last week, they were taking me to the churches. They took me to the church where Dr. Marvin McMichael used to pastor, Antioch Baptist Church, and they said, he's hot. They took me to the church where Otis Moss Jr. used to pastor. And they told me the new pastor there, he's hot. And they took me to the church where a good friend, historic Friendship Baptist Church, where Pastor Larry Howard is pastoring, and he's been there 44 years. And they said, Larry Howard is not hot at Friendship, but at Antioch, the new pastor is hot. And at Otis Moss's church, Olivet, the new pastor is hot. But that Friendship, where Larry Howard has been for 44 years with a nice congregation, a nice church, they say he's not hot. And so I asked the pastor, I said, and the guys that were taking me around, I said, how do you all define hot? Because hot with me comes with burning. I mean, you can't be hot if you've never been burned, if you haven't been through the fire. And so for me, hot was not the new church that had not been through the storm. Hot was not the new pastor who had not been through the storm, but hot was the pastor who's been there 40 years and the congregation that's been together 40 years, been through the storm, been through the fire, and still here. You have not been tested. You're not hot until you've been tested. You got to be tried in the fire. Jeremiah 29, verse 1, in a letter to the residue. Somebody say the residue. Those who've been tried in the fire. It says to the elders, the priests, the prophets, and all of the people who had been carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Jeremiah 29, verse 1, it says, this is who this letter is to. It's to those, the elders and the prophets and the priests, and to the people who've been in the fire. Verse 5, he says to them, Jeremiah says in verse 5, very encouragingly so, he says, build your houses. Dwell in them. Don't be afraid, regardless to what you've been through. He says, build your houses. Dwell in your houses. Plant your gardens and eat the fruits of them. And then in verse 7, look what he says in verse 7 of Jeremiah 29. He says, seek the peace of the city. He says, pray unto the Lord for the peace, and you shall have peace. But then he says in verse 10 of Jeremiah 29, he says, this is what the Lord says. When 70 years of Babylon are complete, he says, I will attend to you and will confirm my promise concerning you to restore you to this house. And then he says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, he says, I know the plans that I have for you. I'm talking to some people in here today. You've been through a lot. You've been through the flood. You've been through the fire. You've had to give up this. You've had to give up that. You've lost this and you've lost that. You don't have what you think you ought to have now. You're not where you think you ought to be now. And he says, I know the plans. I know the plans. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He says, I have plans for your welfare. Not a disaster. So whatever you're going through is not designed to be a disaster. Losing a loved one is not designed to be a disaster. Losing a job is not designed to be a disaster. Losing a friend is not designed. Losing a mother, losing a sister is not designed to be a disaster. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Not for your disaster, but to give you a future. The plan, this is the process to take you forward. This is the process to give you hope. In other words, he's saying, when you get through with this, you'll be able to say, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness on Christ. The solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Come here. Am I talking to some people who've been through the fire, you've been through the process, and now you really can say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. Because if I made it without a job, I sure can make it working at the Circle K. Y'all didn't hear what I said. If I made it without a job, then I can make it part-time at the Walmart, working part-time at the Walmart. If I made it without a job, then part-time at the Walmart will be a great help. Because I'm not standing on my job. I'm not standing on my position. I'm not standing on my title. I'm standing on the promises of God. And so this text is tailored to teach us that God has a plan for you. And that God has, I tell you what, I really never found joy until I understood this for myself. God has a plan. And the process of God is not always written out for you the way you would write it out for you. Can I tell y'all a secret this morning? If I had to write my story, it would be all roses and no thorns. If I had to write my own story, it would be all friends and no enemies. If I had to write my own story, it would be all ups and no downs. It would be all doors open in my face and none closed in my face if I had to write my own story. But that's not the process that God gives for us. Raina, who studies church, has, through the Bible, tapped into this plan and this process that God has for his church. He writes a book that's called The Vibrant Church. He writes a book that's called The Simple Church. I don't have The Simple Church, but I'm going to get that book. Don't you want Simple Church? I mean, I just want easy church. I want simple church. Church has become so complex now. When I was a little boy, you just went to church, you praised God, and you went home. It's complex. He writes a book entitled Breakout Church. And this book is about when the church breaks out of the walls and goes out in the community and is no longer contained inside the four walls, but folk want to know what happened. The church broke out of the wall. Then he writes a book about the unchurched. He writes a book about evangelistic church, and then he writes a new book, The Essential Church. It's not a new plan. If you think it's a new plan, let's look at the text that we just read together earlier. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, then they that gladly received the word, they that gladly received the word. Psalms 122, verse 1, the psalmist says, I was glad. Come here. Can I get one person who can say, I was glad? When they said unto me, some stuff you got to take this thing personal. If you really want to grow in the Lord, if you really want a strong relationship with God, you've got to take this thing personal. He says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 18, he said, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which the Lord creates. He says, behold, the Lord creates Jerusalem rejoicing and a people that rejoices. So if you want to be the people that the Lord creates, you got to be a rejoicing people. You got to be a glad people. You got to be a people who can say, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go. Let's go hear the choir. Let's go hear the preacher. Let's go hear the prayer. Let's go fellowship. Let's go say amen. Let's go clap our hands. Let's go lift up our hands. Let's go run. Let's go shout. Let's go say amen. Let's go have a good time in the Lord. I was glad when they said it. Joel chapter 2 verse 21, he says, fear not, O land. The whole land has no reason to fear, regardless of what happens Tuesday. He says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. And then he says, they that gladly received the word were baptized. They were baptized. Baptized mean immersed. Baptized mean engrossed. Baptized mean plunged in. Didn't we just sing that song that said, plunge in today and be made complete? They were really saying, be baptized today. Every time we come together, there ought to be a baptism, because we ought to become immersed in the service, immersed in the music, immersed in the preaching, immersed in the spirit. So much so until we do like they did in Solomon's, that we lose ourselves. Forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship God. That's what happens when we get baptized. Some people say, I got baptized in the 50s. I got baptized in the 60s. I got baptized in 1972. But let me tell you something. When in 2016, when we walk into these doors, God expects a baptism. He expects us to become engrossed into the service, engrossed into the word, engrossed into the spirit. And so Tom Rainer suggests that church must be essential, that there must be, just like not new church, we all talk about new church, but Rainer talks about old church. Not doing church the new way, but doing church the old way. They gladly received the word. That's old. They were baptized. That's old. And all of this happened on the same day. Rainer suggests that if we do church the old way, then we'll be able to claim a generation of dropouts. Not just children who dropped out, but husbands who dropped out, wives who dropped out, sons and daughters who dropped out, preachers who dropped out, deacons who dropped out, trustees who dropped out. He says, if we do essential church, we'll be able to claim a generation of dropouts. Look on. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Continued means it got tough, but you stayed there. It means that they were unrelenting. They were lasting. Need that kind of religion in the old church. The old church had that take a licking and keep ticking. That's what it says. What it says, they continued. Look at verse 43. It says, and fear came upon every soul. Fear was not shaken in their boots, but a reverence to God. A reverence to God. Everybody had respect, one for God, and they had respect, one for each other. Do you know church becomes essential when everybody gets the same respect that everybody else gets? It does not matter whether you have a three-piece suit on or a Kroger sack. Everybody deserves the same respect. Don't just speak to the ones with suits on. Don't just speak to the ones with silk dresses on, but speak to everybody. You know what? I saw an amazing thing today. The church, I guess we would call them the sexton, the man that cleans the building, is who greeted me this morning. What a blessing it was to see a person who cleans the house of God, reverencing. That's called reverencing. The house of God, so much so until when I walked in the door, he opened the door and said, welcome into God's house. I mean, if the sexton can do it, the man that cleans the place, then the man that preaches in the place ought to be standing on the door welcoming folk too. The one that plays the music in the place ought to take out some time to say welcome to God's house. The ones that wear the black hats ought to say welcome into God's house. The ones who wear the red ties ought to say welcome into God's house. The ones who sing in the choir ought to say welcome. I say that because Raina says that's when church becomes essential. When everybody is somebody. Everybody has to be somebody. The least person in the church is somebody. And the biggest person in the church is no more somebody. The richest person in the church is no more somebody than the brokest person. Everybody. Can I get y'all to preach with me? I'm about done, really. I'm about done. Can I get somebody to say that with me? Everybody is somebody. Look at your neighbor. I'm talking about you. Everybody is somebody. Everybody is somebody. Everybody. Everybody is somebody. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 says, and all that believed were together. Together, together, together. Actually, this sermon sort of plays out well today because I expected all of the people to be in the back of the church like we are sometimes and nobody together. And the text says all of them were together. We got to be together. Church is when we are together. It's not church if we're not together. It's something else, but it's not church if we're not together. Reign of studies suggests that there is not a togetherness now like it used to be. He says 2/3 of church goers drop out. He says especially between the ages of 18 and 22 because they fail to see church as being essential. They fail to see church as really making a difference in my life. What does this have to do with my life? What does this and all that we've been through today, what does it have to do with me? And so Raina says, every time you plan out a worship service, you got to have somebody else in mind other than yourself. You got to have somebody else in mind other than yourself. Two-thirds of churchgoers are dropping out. And he says, if you want to bring the positive side, then just say one-third of the churchgoers are staying with the church. Church is not moving forward with newness. Church moves forward going back to the old way. Can I get a witness here? When I tell you that what we're looking for, we don't have to create. What we're looking for, we don't have to find and pay to get it. We just have to open up the book and walk therein. Acts chapter 2, come in here, come in, listen to me now. Acts chapter 2, verse 45 says, and they sold their possessions, and they sold their goods, and they parted them to every man as every man had need. Y'all know what? On this Sunday, which is Old Church for Mount Olivet, you've been doing that for years. Do you know what? On this Sunday, I just read Acts chapter 2, verse 45. On this Sunday, what is that? That's Acts chapter 2, verse 45. That's what under Sunday is. If anybody asks you, what is under Sunday, I tell them it's Acts chapter 2, verse 45. It's taking care of those who have need. The coats and the hats, what's that? And what's that all about? I'll tell you what it's about. It's about Acts chapter 2, verse 45. The scarves and the gloves, what's that? That's Acts chapter 2. Verse 45, the food pantry that provides food for those who are hungry and provides turkeys and a hot breakfast every month. What is that? It's, somebody ought to holler at me now. Y'all ought to have me by now. What is that? It's Acts chapter 2 and verse 45. I'm going back because I don't think y'all got me yet. On this Sunday is Acts chapter 2, verse 45. Coats and hats out there in that box out there. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 45. Scarves and gloves. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 45. That's when you're having essential church, when you're doing something for somebody other than yourself. The food pantry is Acts chapter 42, verse 45. But wait, that ain't all. That ain't all. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35, he says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. He says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. He says, I was a stranger and you took me in. So come here, visiting the sick is Matthew 25, 35. Adolph, who greeted us in this morning, greeting folks into the church is Matthew 25, 35. Hospitality in God's church is Matthew 25, 35. I was hungry. And what did you do? I was thirsty. And what did you do? I was a stranger. And what did you do? Acts chapter 2, verse 46. I'm going on because y'all just ain't going with me. Y'all ain't paying me no attention today, so let me go on. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and says, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. One heart. Can I get a witness when I tell you that's an old song? Y'all waiting on me to close. Don't be through in a minute. That's an old song that the old church used to sing that made church essential. Y'all remember that song that says, when all God's children get together, what a time. Can I get a witness here? When all God's children get together, what a time. I need a witness who know what I'm talking about, that when God's children get together, we always have a good time. Somebody asked me, they say, have you been watching Hillary's events on CNN? I said, no. They said, have you been watching Trump's events on Fox? I said, no, I can't take it. Here come Hillary out there. I've seen it enough to know what I'm talking about. Here come Hillary marching out there with her suits on, and the crowd goes crazy. I don't care what you say, making promises that she can't keep. And here come Trump out there with his Trump ties on, walking out there, making promises that he cannot keep. But I know a man. I know a man. I know a man. When he makes promises, you know, when Hillary makes a promise, the crowd goes crazy. When Trump makes a promise, the crowd goes crazy. But that God of mine, he said, lo, you seek me, and lo, you find me. He said, lo, I'll be with you always. And we sit there with our arms folded. We won't lift our hands and tell God, thank you. He said, if you're sick, I'll be your doctor. If you're in trouble, I'll be your lawyer. If you go to a courtroom, I'll be your judge. If you go to a hospital, I'll be your doctor. If you're down and out, I'll pick you up. And we won't even tell God, thank you. But who am I talking to? No, he's been good to us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 says that the essential church is the church that praises God. Praising God is not a new thing, but praising God is an old thing. If the Lord been good to you, you ought to tell him thank you. If the Lord took care of you when you couldn't take care of yourself, you ought to tell God thank you. If the Lord pulled you through when you were down and out, you ought to tell God thank you. If he walked into your sick room when the doctors shook their heads, you ought to tell God thank you. If he took care of your children when they were giving you 2 for 1, you ought to tell God thank you. If he put food on your table when you didn't have any money, you ought to tell God thank you. If he put clothes on your back, you ought to tell God thank you. If he put a little money in your pocket, you ought to tell God thank you. If when your mama passed and when my sister passed and God took care of me, we ought to tell God thank you. I got one thing to ask you, and then I'm going on home. Ain't God good? Isn't he worthy of the praise and worthy of the honor and worthy of the glory? I got one thing to ask y'all, and I'm going to my seat. Has he done anything for you lately? Has he done anything for you lately? Has he done anything for you lately? I got 5 reasons to tell God thank you. Can I tell y'all what he done for me? I got 5 reasons to tell God thank you. I'm gonna tell you what he done for me. 1, he woke me up this morning. 2, he woke me up this morning. 3, he woke me up this morning. 4, he woke me up this morning. 5, he woke me up this morning. That's good enough reason to tell God thank you.
And if you're not too mean, lift those hands. I said lift those hands and tell God, thank you for being good to me. Thank you for being good. Ain't he good? Ain't he good? Essential Church is where the Spirit of the Lord is. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty to tell God thank you. Liberty to praise the Lord. Liberty to tell him you've been good to me. I'm trying to leave you now, but when I think about how good he's been to me, when I look back over my life, I can say he's been good to me. He's been good to me. He's been good to me. I didn't mean to go here this morning, but I just got to tell somebody he's been good to me. Thank you, Jesus. He's been good to me. Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to? Who am I talking to can say, he's been good to me? If I'm talking to somebody that know he's been good, reach over and hug somebody beside you. I said, reach over and hug somebody beside you. Reach over and hug somebody beside you and tell them he's been good to me. He's been good to me. Hey, hey. He's been good to me. Thank you, Jesus. Can you just tell God thank you? I'm trying to leave you, but can you tell God thank you? Woke me up this morning, didn't let me sleep too late. He been good. He been good. Thank you, Jesus. If I had 10,000 tongues, I would thank God for everyone. He been good to me. He been good to me. Hey, hey, hey. He been good to me. He been good to me. Tell somebody close to you, he been good to me.